You know, in the 9-to-5 working world, one of the things you hopefully plot and plan for is building a nest egg of money via various means so you can enjoy a secure and comfortable retirement down the line. Now, in other working worlds, that plan doesn't always take place. Boxing, for example, features men who they've filled arenas, made a lot of people a lot of money, and yet they've wound up destitute, in debt, and, well, worse than that in some cases. My guest is playing a big part in an event to help these boxers get back on their feet. Here to talk about punchlines at the Laugh Factory is boxing expert, author, whose latest book is Boxing's Greatest Fighters. Say good morning to Bert Sugar. Good morning, Mr. Sugar.
How are you, Chris?
Well, terrific to have you here. Been a long-time admirer of your work and the way you support the sport, and it's just a natural that you come out and support the guys like you're doing with an event like this.
Well, we're doing something on March 2nd for Ring 8, and it's called Punchlines. It's at the Laugh Factory, which is at 8th Avenue and 42nd over in New York, Manhattan. And it's writers and fighters, and we hopefully are going to have one heck of a good time. I've got a lot of fighters there. I've got some ESPN writers coming. To that end, I've got Vito Anafirmo, who'll probably bleed all over me. Iran Barkley, Kevin Rooney. I mean, it looks like round up the usual suspects. Right. I suspect even Jake LaMotta may be there, but maybe it's too far to travel. He's already in the lobby, and he might make it by March 2nd.
Now, I'm thinking about putting Kevin Rooney on a stage with a microphone. That could be a dangerous situation.
If you understand one word, please translate. Consecutive interpretation.
I thought by now, with all the technology we have, he would come with subtitles.
Well, you know, Kevin is I think, living image of Leo Gorsi of the Dead End Kids. But it's going to be fun, and that's what we're trying to do. And it raises money for Ring 8, which then disseminates it to the boxers who have need. Because as you so eloquently put it earlier at the top of the show, boxing is the one sport that has no safety net for boxers or for its athletes, unlike, say, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. These men who have given so much to us, it's now our turn to give something back to them.
Yeah, when you think, I mean, you can equate to whether if you're in New York, you can go outside and look at Madison Square Garden. If you're in Philly, you can go down and look at the Spectrum. There are people who are sitting in holes in the wall that were responsible for those buildings being built and being funded.
Indeed. I mean, they always say Yankee Stadium is a house that Ruth built. Madison Square Garden is a house that Jack Dempsey and Bo Jack and Emil Griffith built. All boxers. And to that end, it's our turn now to give something back to these men who have really excited us over the years, given us great memories, given us great fights, and given us great effort. And unfortunately, it hasn't always been rewarded.
Now, speaking of great fights and great fighters, like you spotlight in your book, Boxing's Greatest Fighters, who is one of the most underappreciated great technical fighters that you've ever seen?
Ezzard Charles.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, and the problem with Ezzard Charles, as it was the problem with Larry Holmes, as it was the problem with Gene Tunney, is they all followed in the shadow or the predecessor greatness of Jack Dempsey in the case of Tunney, and Ezzard Charles, Joe Louis, and Larry Holmes, Muhammad Ali. So they were overlooked, and that's unfair. It's like Harry Truman is always overlooked in the limelight of Franklin D. Roosevelt. So that said, I thought Ezzard Charles was magnificent. But by the same token, people who remember him only remember him as a short window, and that's unfair to his memory. And there are other great fighters. I've got a technician out here in Vegas that's fighting Saturday night, and Sugar Shane Mosley, and he's overlooked. Technicians are sometimes overlooked, sometimes very appreciated, though, like Sugar Ray Robinson, whom I have as my number one fighter in Boxing's Greatest Fighters. So it depends on how much of the limelight they got. Again, it's called Ballyhoo. And, you know, if you don't get the headlines, you're not known. And particularly those fighters who fought really before ESPN. I once told my son, who's of a younger generation, I said, you wouldn't know you were getting a divorce unless it ran on ESPN in the crawl.
Talking with the great Bert Sugar. He's going to be a part of the event coming up at the Laugh Factory at 8th Avenue between 42nd and 43rd Street on Thursday, March 2nd, 8 p.m. It's called Punchlines at the Laugh Factory. And you can call, by the way, to get tickets, 212-586-7829. You are listening to Issues and Ideas. I read the stat, and you can tell me whether it's in the ballpark or unfair. 95% of fighters in their careers with either little or no money, and because boxing is all they knew for the bulk of their life, they really don't have skills to go off and try to start a new career.
Well, you're not getting your recruits for boxing, Chris, from the Harvard B School.
No.
I mean, these kids are hard scrabble kids. They're expressing themselves and trying to climb up the ladder the only way they know, with two hands. And when it's over, they rarely have anything to fall back on. It's not as if they have a second career. And that said, I don't know about the statistic, but let's just say it's somewhere in the ballpark. How's that for a mixed metaphor?
That works as a definite maybe.
they just don't have something to fall back on. And I think that's unfair. And I try to do whatever I can. If I can provide support, either financial or by my presence, I do it. Because these are men who I respect. They gave everything they had, and now they haven't got anything. So,
and it's important to mention, too, that these were very respectable and very successful fighters in most cases. I mean, maybe the most well-known case of this happening to someone would probably be, for most common knowledge, Joe Lewis, everything that happened to him. And you can't think of a much bigger success than what Joe Lewis was, both in the ring and as far as notoriety.
Well, and poor Joe Lewis, because of the tax situation, just very quickly in 1942, he fought two times defending his title, the heavyweight title. Fought once Buddy Bear, once Lou Nova. Donated his proceeds entirely, once to the Army and once the Navy relief funds during the war. And the IRS decided to tax him on everything as if he had it, and never gave up, really, gnawing at the bone that didn't happen and didn't occur and wasn't there, the money that he didn't get. They taxed it as if he got it. And with interest and penalties, poor Joe had a tax bill that was he couldn't pay, ever. They finally had to pass a bill in Congress to release him from his debt. But it was a total mistake. But boxers are treated this way, and it's unfair.
Maybe a more recent story that might ring a bell with some of the younger people listening, Jerry Quarry.
Well, Quarry didn't have anything. Mike Tyson certainly has piddled away his money.
Yeah, well, that we know was idiocy on his part.
I mean, you know, he just threw it in the air and hollered spud, as far as I'm concerned. but, you know, again, boxers who never had anything momentarily have something, and they treat it as if it'll go on forever. And guess what? The bottom line is it doesn't.
It does not. We're talking with Bert Sugar. Ring 8 Benefit is coming to Laugh Factory, New York, 8th Avenue between 42nd and 43rd Street, March 2nd, Thursday night, 8 p.m. To find out more, you can call 212-586-7829. I want to wrap up with just your, you know, I want to make you president of the world of boxing for a moment here. And the state of the sport, because I'm of the belief that when boxing fell off of free TV, I mean, ABC used to be a staple there, CBS, even NBC, when it went to cable and more select fights, it put the focus on a heavyweight division, yeah, but then the heavyweight division fell apart, and in turn, the interest in the sport fell apart.
Well, you've stated two separate problems, and you're right on both of them. One-third of the homes are not wired for whether it's Dish or cable or what have you, and those are boxing's fans. That's number one. It doesn't get the exposure. Number two, boxing's flagship division has always been the heavyweight division. I have friends who will tell me, yes, I'm a boxing fan, which is somewhat analogous to saying, yes, I'm a horse racing fan. I watch the Kentucky Derby. These people say, I'm a boxing fan. I watch heavyweight championship fights. Well, the heavyweight division is now it's on the cusp of being called off on account of lack of interest. You've got four champions, all of whom could show up in a police lineup in their gloves, robes, and trunks carrying their belts. Not only would no one know who they are, they would know what they did for a living. So that said, boxing has suffered, and it needs a charismatic figure somewhat similar to, say, a Tiger Woods in golf or Michael Jordan in basketball, and right now doesn't have them. So it's relegated to a secondary position, and that's, I think, unfair for a sport that for the first 50 years of the 20th century was one of the three major sports along with baseball and horse racing.
Because I remember growing up in the 70s into the 80s, you can sit down on a Saturday and watch, believe it or not, on free TV, Sugar Ray Leonard or, you know, even characters back then like Frank the Animal Fletcher.
Oh, good. And you had a lot of them wandering through. And then go back to Friday nights, which was the Gillette Cavalcade of Sports in the 40s and 50s, where I was served Ralph Tiger Jones on Friday night more often on Friday than fish.
Let me give you the rundown of this event because it really does make a difference, and I think it's an event, too, that will help you if you're, no matter what kind of a boxing fan you are, really help you get in touch with the heritage and the history of the sport as well. It's a benefit for Ring 8. It's going to be at the Laugh Factory, 8th Avenue between 42nd and 43rd Streets, Thursday night, March 2nd at 8 p.m. To get tickets, call the Laugh Factory at 212-586-7829, against 212-586-7829. And while you're out there in the purchasing mood, grab a copy of Birchley's book. It's Boxing's Greatest Fighters. I believe it's one of the great textbooks for fans of all interests and of all levels. Bert, been a long-time admirer of what you write and what you talk about, and thank you for just the support you give for these great heroes of boxing. Thanks for being here this morning.
My pleasure, Chris. Let's do this again.